great power, the greatness of his power. All you got to do is open up your heart and let Jesus in by receiving him as Savior and Lord of your life. I don't know about you, but every now and then I look back over my life and see where the Lord brought me from. Amen. And I look at how there was a time I looked like I didn't have no hope, but the Lord, when I put my trust in him, I was able to just stand back and watch him work. And I tell you, he's brought me from a long ways. He brought you from a long ways. Amen. 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 And so if there's anybody maybe watching by way of Facebook Live, or even somebody here who would like to get on board, would like to experience the greatness of God's power, which is in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. You may come by letter, candidate for baptism, or...
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
See you. Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Turn your Bible to the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. Very familiar scripture. The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. If you find it, please say amen. The word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the giving. Now glorify yourself in the word. Use your servant to proclaim what thus says the Lord. Help our hearing. Help our understanding be glorified in this place. We pray that lives will be touched, souls will be saved, needs will be met. Thank you for supplying all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for the anointing. And we pray that your name be magnified in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, "The Gospel in Plain English." My assignment basically is to explain the whole Bible in a nutshell. The gospel in plain English. If you have been studying the word of God, you're going to find out that the Jewish laws have 613 rules. And it was difficult for the people of Israel trying to keep up with all those laws, too many of them. So one day, the Jews approached Jesus Christ. They said, "Man, this is too many rules. Can you tell us which of these rules is the bottom line?" And you will recall Jesus answered them, "The bottom line of all the rules is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your spirit, your body." He said, "This is the greatest commandment. Everything else rests upon that." So what I'm doing today is to put the entire Bible in just one summary. Today, I will submit to you that the whole Bible rests on this one verse I just read to you. That God loves the world. You can put a period there and go home. But I got to mention to you, back in the Old Testament, God's people, the Jews, they had no concept of God loving anybody. That's never in their thinking. They cannot even conceive a God who loves, not in their mind. They do believe that God speaks. They know of a speaking God. They know of a powerful God. They know and they are aware of a fearful God. They know about a God who is terrifying. They also know of a God who is awesome. But they cannot grasp the idea of a God who loves. Don't think they are very slow, but in their own encounter with God, they are scared of him. They don't see him as love. They are terrified. In fact, they are so scared of God, in their conversation, they never mention his name. In their mind, if you fool around and mention the name of God, he will strike you dead instantly. In their writing, they never write down the name of God. They only use his initials. Why? Because they make sure the name of God is not on their lips, and they make sure the name of God is not on their papers. Why is that? Because they're scared of him. They're terrified of God. Why are they so scared? Their own idea of God is somebody who showed up in lightning. Their own understanding of God is somebody who showed up in the fire. Remember Moses? On Mount Sinai? Take off your shoe. So every time God show up, it's a scary God. He don't play, he's a no-nonsense God. The God that they know is a God that will set a whole mountain on fire. The God that they know is a God that will terrify the whole neighborhood. The God that they know is a God who will walk into a city like Sodom and Gomorrah and set the whole city on fire and burn it down. They know of a God who can shut down the heavens and for years there'll be no rain. So to them, that's not a dude you want to fool with. He strikes cities, he causes a heartquake, and he will change the weather and destroy a whole nation with flood. To them, this is a horrifying God. This is the same God who gives Samson an ordinary jawbone, and one man is able to destroy hundreds of people. This is the same God who show up in a smoke. Every time God will show up, guess what those people do? They fall to the ground. They would never look up. They don't want to eye to eye with God. Oh, no. Not if he's in the neighborhood. They run for cover. They could not conceive of a God who loves. Yet, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. I come here to suggest to somebody, as a theologian who've had time to study the Word of God carefully, I can tell you from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all you will see, the whole Bible, is about John 3:16. That God is love. The Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites will carry around, all is about John 3:16. Even Noah's Ark, you remember when he built an ark for the saving of his family. Again, it all points to John 3:16. Even David's experience as a shepherd with his sheep is all pointing to the same one verse, John 3:16. Solomon in his wisdom is all about John 3:16. When you read of Daniel in the lion's den, if you really think through what you're reading, it's all about John 3:16. When you learn about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you find out a fourth man that show up in the middle of the fire, it's all pointing to John 3:16. Even when you learn of Jonah in the belly of the whale, you ever been in trouble? I've been there. Trouble on the job. Trouble with the government. Trouble with family. Trouble with friends. Trouble in the community. But there is a God that will bring you out. Jonah was in trouble, but God brought him out of the way. It all points out to John 3:16, for God loves the world. Ladies and gentlemen, my message to you this morning, if you don't get anything, get this simple kingdom principle that God loves you. I don't care whether you're in jail right now listening to my voice. God loves you. You know, one day, one of my deacons, Deacon McClendon, we went to Angola. And I was just trying to visit the administrator there. I told the deacon, you're going to drive me there. And we were shocked. I'm so glad he came with me. We were shocked how the prisoners were running after me, calling me their pastor. And I've never met them in my whole life. Because they get the essence of this ministry. This is not a ministry that puts people down. This is not a ministry that judges people. This is a ministry who come to turn and say, God loves you. I don't care if you are locked up in jail. God loves you. I don't care if you're on crack cocaine. God loves you. I don't care you're listening to me right now and you are drunk as you could be. For God loves the world. Religious people have problems dealing with that. They like to judge people. They like to tell you who is in, who is out. But the Bible said, God loves the world. Maybe last night you were at the nightclub. But guess what? God still loves you. Maybe you are shacking up right now. God loves you. Some people come to church sometimes with a hangover. But guess what? God loves you. So remember that when it comes to God, it don't matter what you've done, it don't matter where you've been, it don't matter what anybody say about you, God loves you. Even if nobody knows your name, God loves you. It don't matter if nobody in your family is speaking to you. God loves you. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice and you're catching hell on your job. I want you to know that God loves you. Even when church people are mean and cruel, you need to know in your knowing that God still loves you. Please take note, when I say God loves you, it's not because you merit the love of God. It's not because you are so righteous. God didn't love you and me because we are so holy. Even when we fall down, even when we screw up, God still loves us. Even when we're acting a fool, I've been there. God is still love. When we messed up and we lied and we vowed unto God and did not keep our words, God still loves us. And for those of you whose back is against the wall, the Lord sent me to tell you, God still loves you. Even when your friends are few, and your money is funny, and your credit is jacked up, if you ever get this one revelation, that no matter what you're going through, God still loves you. Even when you have no dime to your name, you need to know that God still loves you. When you are divorced, God loves you. When you have a child out of wedlock, God still loves you. When you wind up in prison, you messed around, you find yourself doing drugs, God is still love. When you're a victim of racial discrimination and you're a victim of sexual discrimination and you're a victim of emotional abuse, a victim of psychological abuse, yet God still loves you. My brothers, my sisters, God's love for you is unconditional. Did you hear what I said? God's love for you comes with no strings attached. It's not like human beings. Today, they like you. Tomorrow, they hate your guts. But Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. To be honest with you, there is nothing you, me, can do to stop God from loving you. And he knows everything that you've done. He knows everything you and I are doing right now. You know, sometimes we wear clothes to cover things up. We have underwear, outerwear. We even have girdle to pack it. God can see through all that. Even when your smile is funny. Even when your hallelujah is fake. But guess what? God still loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us can testify to that. Because but for the love of God, we would have been dead. But for the love of God, some of us will be in jail right now. The only difference between us and those who are locked up is we will never get caught. The only reason why some of us are still alive is because of the love of God. If all of us are given a chance, there are things that we would love to go back and redo it. And fix it. Even me. So it's only the love of God that has sustained us. But please take note. This love I'm talking about is not free. In order for a holy God to reconcile with a sinful man, there's a price that had to be paid. Are you feeling me this morning? It's a blessing just to know that God loves you. But don't forget that in order for God to redeem us back because we were messed up, our price had to pay. Jesus made the purchase. I was trying to explain a legal concept this morning to the congregation. There's something called redemption. You can lose your property, and then the Lord gives you so much time to go back and redeem your property. So what Jesus did when Adam and Eve lost this precious planet to the devil, Jesus came and redeemed us, and it cost him everything. That is why one day Jesus was talking and he gave a parable that he called "The kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure." In that parable, if I may explain what Jesus is saying, it's like a man that was just going around in the countryside. Let's say it's like me going to the city of Calphat. That's kind of country, you know. And then I was plowing around with my feet. And I discover there's some big chest in the ground. And I tried to dig a little bit. Then I found out, I discovered it's full of gold and diamonds and silver and valuable treasure. And I said, oh my God. But I also know in my knowing, in order for me to be able to possess that, I will have to buy the land. Because legally, when you own the land, then you own all the treasure in the land. So what Jesus did, the land has been stolen by the devil. But Jesus knew that there are precious souls on that land. So he had to buy back the land. Can you imagine me coming home and talking to my wife, Elizabeth, and say, baby, I just found a piece of property in Calphat. And I want us to buy it. In my sanctified mind, Elizabeth probably will say, What did you say? Yeah, piece of property in the city of Caiaphas. In her mind, probably was saying, why will you go and buy property in Caiaphas? Well, I would say probably, I said, baby, trust me on this one. It will be a good investment. I'm sure she will ask me, okay, so how much do they want for the property? And I probably will say they want millions and millions and millions of dollars. Now, she probably will say, millions of dollars in Caiaphas, Louisiana? Are you out of your mind? And I probably will say, baby, trust me on this one. In my sanctified mind, my wife probably will say, okay, and how do you plan to pay for millions and millions and millions of dollars? And they imagine me responding to her and say, baby, we're going to sell our house. We're going to sell all of our furniture. We're going to sell everything in the house. We're going to sell all of our clothes, including your shoes. You can just imagine the nature of that conversation between husband and wife. Because she is going to think, Adam lost my mind. But knowing my wife, even though she disagrees, she will submit. So if you have heard from God, I'm going to go with you. And let's suppose we bought that land. We have the title to the property. We got the title deed. And then I say, baby, come with me. And then we go to the city of Caiaphas, and I begin to dig the land. And then we run into gold, and we run into diamonds, we run into silver, all kinds of precious stones. I can just see my wife gasping for air. She will be full of joy. But notice, for us to get that blessing, we have to give up everything. That's what Jesus did for your salvation. That's what Jesus did for my salvation. He gave up everything. That is why we say he went to the cross and lose everything so that we might be redeemed to God. It was at the cross. Where I first saw the Lamb, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. It was there. By faith, I received my sight. I don't know about you, I'm happy. I'm happy he died for me. I'm happy he paid the price. I'm happy it cost him everything. I'm happy. It's all about John 3:16. God loves you. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever will believe in him, that person will not perish. That person will have everlasting life. What is the message? I want to tell you, my brothers, my sisters, you need to know, no matter what you're going through right now, God loves you. Amen. Amen. And when you receive that revelation, then the devil cannot intimidate you anymore. When you receive that revelation, then you know in your knowing that God's got your back. One time, the people of Israel, you know their story, they were locked up in Egypt land for 432 years, you know. They were slaves. But because God loves them, he brought them out. The same God that brought them out is your God. No matter what you and I are going through right now, we're coming out in Jesus' name. Open your mouth, shout amen. And you would think when they came out, they'd be free because God delivered them. The Bible said, then the devil began to set up stumbling blocks in their face. So whatever you're going through right now, that's the devil trying to reverse the blessing. And you need to know God who started with you will sustain you. The Bible recalls the people of Israel, they have to fight different tribes along the way. But guess what? Everywhere they go, God was granting them victories. They never lost a single battle. So one day they were coming close to a neighborhood owned by the Moabites. And the Moabites have heard that the Israelites were coming. And they have heard that the Israelites were fighting every kingdom along the way. And they were kicking everybody's behind. So the Moabites, they got smart. Guess what they did? They went and hired a preacher, a prophet by the name Balaam. And they said, you know, we got a problem here. The Jews, the Israelites, they're coming. They're going to pass through this neighborhood. They've been kicking everybody's behind along the way. So we need you to go and curse them. And we will pay you whatever you want. See, that's a whole sermon by itself, because not every preacher you see are anointed. Some of them are sellout. This preacher, pastor, was willing to take big money to curse out the people of God. But I got some good news for you. Sometimes on your job, there are people working behind the scene trying to see you fall. Not everybody is happy for you when you are being blessed. I go around, I shake people's hand, I hug them, but I know not all of them are happy for me. While they're smiling in your face, that's right, sister. They want to stab you in the back. Opportunities will come up. They will say, no, don't give it to him. During this trip, I was in Africa when the governor called me. The governor of the state. And I had to tell him. I said, sir, I'm actually not home. That I'm overseas. He said, you got to be kidding. I said, well, everybody need a break. He just appointed me in the board in my absence. But not when God begins to bless you. Yes. Not everybody will be happy for you. Yes. But you know, this preacher, Balaam, when he was hired and contracted to curse the people of God, the Bible says every time he opened his mouth, instead of cursing, blessings come out. There's a lesson there. This is what the Bible is talking about. If God be for you, who can be against you? You need to know in your knowing that God loves you. And no matter what you're going through, at home, on the job, in the marketplace, anywhere, God's got your back. Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. It's not been conceived in the hearts of men. what God has in store for you. Think about it. Let me say this and let you go. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 5. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to ask the question, what is it about these Israelites that even a preacher was contracted to curse them out? But every time he opened his mouth, blessings come out. Is it because they were always holy? No. Is it because they were always righteous? No. Then why is it that nobody could even curse them? The Bible explained it. He said, nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken to Reverend Balaam. What he wanted to do, God would never allow it. But guess what the Lord did? But the Lord thy God will turn the curse into a blessing. You miss a good place to shout. Every time they try to curse you, God will turn it around into a blessing. Every time they try to mock your name, God will turn it around into a blessing. Every time they try to put you down, God will turn it around into a miracle. I came back to America to tell somebody the only reason why cancer could not take you out is because God loves you. The only reason you went through a divorce and you're still standing is because God loves you. The only reason why your enemies don't have the upper hand, they try to mess with you on your job. They try to mess with you in your business. They try to mess with your health. They try to kill you before your time. The only reason you're still here is because God loves you. Touch somebody right now and say, Jesus loves me. Come on, tell him. Say, Jesus loves me. These I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him he belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? For the Bible tells me so. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. I say shout amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, and you know the Bible say when God loves you, you see, they asked Mr. Balaam. They say, okay, now that this is going on, we ask you to curse them, you won't curse them. Notice what Mr. Balaam, the preacher, said in Numbers 23, verse 20. He said, behold, I received a commandment from God to bless them and not curse them. And guess what else he said? He said, God had blessed them, and I cannot do what? There's a lesson there. The blessing of God upon your life is irreversible. Open your mouth, shout amen. Say, the blessing of God upon my life cannot be reversed. I don't care what anybody say about you. I don't care how many times you messed up. When God bless you, you are blessed. When God heal you, you are healed. When God promotes you, you are promoted. No weapon form or fashion against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of God. Open your mouth and say, I receive. Stand up right now. I want to pray with somebody. If you are here this morning and you say, Pastor, I get it. God loves me. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to receive that revelation. I'm not going to worry about what I'm dealing with. I'm not going to worry about what I'm facing right now. I serve a God who said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him. You know why? Because he cares. He loves you. So if you're here today and there is any area in your life you want to trust in the hand of God, that you receive that revelation now that he loves me. He's got my back. I want to trust him with this. I want to trust him with this issue. I don't even need to know the issue. You're the one that God sent me to. Find your way to the altar right now. Jesus. Blessing just to know that God loves you. What keeps me going every day? I got issues, I got challenges, I got problems just like everybody else. But I just trust God. I just put it all in God's hand. The Bible says he never sleeps. He never slumbered. So I figured if he stays awake, then there's no point for both of us to stay awake. So I'm going to sleep. I'm going to trust him. Pastor Carl, Philly, you preached many years ago, and you kept saying, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. And he just, I received that. You just come to a point, you just trust. Let him fight your battle. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Father God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for the opportunity to cast all of our cares. Not some of our cares, all of our cares upon you. It's good to know you cared for us. You said while we were yet speaking, you're already working things out. Lord, we'll put all of our cares before this altar today. Individual cares, collective cares, community care, even our nation need the help of Almighty God. Father, we'll put it all in your hands. And by faith, we decree and declare all is well. In our home, all is well. On our job, all is well. In our business, all is well. With our health, all is well. With our children, all is well. With our marriage, all is well. We shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We are ordained to bring forth our fruit in our season. And whatsoever we do shall prosper. We take our rightful place right now. And Lord, we thank you for everyone before this altar. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. We're not going to worry about our thing. Just to know that you love us. Just to know that your blessing upon our life is irreversible. Just to know that everything the devil meant for evil, you're turning around for our good. We receive that by faith right now. Let your healing flow unhindered, freely, without interruption, in our body, in our home, in our marriage. Let your blessings flow. We praise you. And we thank you for the blessing. It is well. I said it is well. In Jesus' name. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. Let me try it again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. We just prayed. But guess what else they did? They praised God. They did praise God like the Baptist. You know, the Baptist will tell you, come to church, be quiet. But no, the Bible said they praised God and the prisoners heard them. You have to praise God to the point that every prisoner in the house can hear you. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. Let the demons hear your praise. Shout amen. Shout amen. Shout amen. Shout amen. Give God your love. In Jesus' name, I want to thank you for your willingness to study the Word of God with me today.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcome with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
Highest praise. Clap your hands while you're doing it. We're going to sing an old song this morning. And this song says this. It says, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Y'all help me sing it. Say, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You want to call him, man. And Jesus is on. He's on the main line. Another thing here, if you are sick and you can't get well, you ought to tell God what you want. Hey, if you are sick and you can't get well, tell God
what you want.
Call him up and tell him, say,
if you are sick
and you can't get well,
tell
God
what you want.
Hey, if you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Hey, if you need the Holy
Ghost,
the Holy
Ghost,
tell
him
God
what you want.
Oh, call him up and
if you need
the Holy
Ghost.
sing to the
if
end.
If you need
the Holy Ghost power,
power,
tell God
tell
what you want. Oh, God. And tell him what you want. Yeah, what you want. Yes, yeah, say right then, sing. Call him up, yeah.
Call him up.
And tell him.
And tell him what you want.
Call him up, y'all.
Call him up.
And tell him.
And tell him what you want.
Whatever you need.
Call him up.
He'll supply your need.
Tell him what you want.
Whatever you need.
Call him up.
He'll supply your need.
Tell him what you want.
I got to call him up.
Call him up.
And tell him.
And tell him what you want.
Call him up, y'all.
Call him up.
And tell him.
And tell him what you want.
He owns a thousand cows. He owns a cattle.
What you want.
On a thousand hills.
Call him up.
And tell him.
And tell him what you want.
I got to call him.
Call him up.
And he will see a mountain.
Tell him what you want.
I got to call him.
Call him up.
When I'm going
and
through.
Tell him what you want.
To call him up, yeah.
Call him up.
And tell him,
and
what,
tell him what you want.
Call Jesus
call
up. And tell him,
hey,
try Jesus,
try Jesus,
try Jesus,
try Jesus,
try Jesus,
try Jesus.
You want to try the man,
try Jesus,
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 try Jesus.
Come on, call him up, yeah,
call him up,
call him up,
call him up.
Why don't you call him up?
Call him up.
Why don't you call him
up? What you want.
Why don't you
call him up?
Why don't you call him
up? What you want.
When you've been worried,
call him up.
He'll make you
happy. Tell him what you want.
When you've been sad,
call him up.
He'll make you glad.
Tell him what you want.
When you've been burdened,
call him up.
When you've been burdened,
what you want.
When you've been burdened,
call him up.
He'll lift your burdens.
What you want.
He'll lift your burdens.
Call him up.
Just a little bit higher.
Tell him what you want.
Why don't you call him?
Call him up.
Why don't you call him?
What you want.
Why don't you call him?
Call him up.
Why don't you call him?
What you want.
He'll lift your burdens.
Call him up.
He'll lift your burdens.
What you want.
He'll lift your burdens.
Call him up.
Just a little bit higher.
What you want.
He'll lift your burdens.
Call him up.
Just a little bit higher.
What you want.
Why don't you call him?
Call him up.
Why don't you call him?
What you want.
Why don't you call him?
Call him up.
Why don't you call him?
What you want.
Why don't you try Jesus?
Try Jesus.
Try Jesus.
Try Jesus.